This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Real wolves are social creatures. They need and crave a group to belong to in order to survive and thrive. The same is true for your Minnesota Timberwolves. Now join host Henry Lake as he gets an inside look with another prominent member of the club. This is Life in the Pack.
Welcome to another edition of the Life in the Pack podcast, where we talk to players past and present and executives with the Minnesota Timberwolves organization. I'm your host, Henry Lake, and today I get a chance to talk to a member of the front office that many of you have likely seen but don't necessarily know. Chu Pettigrew is the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx, and he joins us here today on the podcast. Hey, Chu, it's a pleasure to talk to you today on Life in the Pack.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Henry. Every time I see you, man, you smiling, you bring good energy, so I'm hoping I'll get more of the same today.
Hey, keep that thought, because I got something for you here in just a little bit with regards to positive energy. I regard you as a fresh face with the organization. You were hired, about a year and a half ago? Is that correct?
That is correct. Going on 2 years. I think it will make 2 years this fall. Yep.
Okay. So for the listening audience out there, what is your executive duties and role with the organization? Because you were hired for one job and you did so well in that job, you've already been elevated to the current role that you have now.
No, thank you for that. My current role is Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Timberwolves and the Lynx. And that involves me providing senior level strategic guidance and direction to make sure we are making our organization the most inclusive and equitable it can possibly be for any and everyone that walks through those doors. So that's the internal focus. And also making sure we are leveraging our position and our influence in this region and throughout the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota to address any levels of inequities or disparities that may exist for any of the audience where we all live, work, and play.
Yeah, I'm sure that you've been really, really busy because diversity and inclusion has been a focal point, not just here in Minneapolis or in Minnesota, but all over the country with everything that's occurred in our country over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. So I'm assuming that you've been hard at work, man.
Yeah, it's been busy. It's been really busy. And, you know, someone asked me recently, does what I do make me happy, right? And you get that question a lot. And I really had to pause and think about that, Henry. And the answer to that question and the honest answer and full transparency was not always. And that's not that I don't love what I do because I do, but to your point, a lot of the tragedies that we've experienced, a lot of the inequities that we see, that does not always make me happy, but the ability to affect change in doing the work that I do, it does always bring me joy. It is fulfilling. So I do draw that distinction.
So let's get to who you are and where you came from, because we all have a story, right? So where are you from originally? Because I know that you've lived, or you're maybe from Cary, North Carolina. Is that correct?
Oh, wow. Look at you. Okay. So we've talked more than I've realized.
Well, you know, I tried to do a little research, for the podcast.
No. So originally I am from Baltimore. I grew up in Baltimore.
Okay.
So I grew up in Baltimore, went to school in Atlanta, went to DeVry University, and then I've lived a number of places since then. I've lived in DC. I've lived in New York. I've lived in LA. I've lived in Boston. And I did move here from Cary, North Carolina. Cary was the last place I was before coming here to Minneapolis.
You know, that's interesting, man, that you've lived so many places, and there's some, you know, me being a guy that's lived in Kansas City where I was hosting there for 5.5 years and spent time in Atlanta as well. It's just, I think it's really cool in life where a person can, because I know that we're always going to be biased towards where we're from, right, and where we grew up in our hometown, all that. But I really am somebody that promotes to young people to get out in the world and really see the world and live in different places if indeed it's possible for you to do that.
I mean, I agree with that 100%. And not knowing, like, I can look back on it now, Henry, and it's really interesting, is that, and I'm a big believer, and I can say this now because of my lived experiences, is that the sooner we are exposed to different people, places, and things, like early on in life, the more comfortable and familiar, and dare I say, empathetic that we can become to diverse people, places, and things later on in life. And so I really look at the journey that I've been on as practice and preparation for the work that I've been called to do.
Yeah. We're talking to True Pettigrew, the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx here on the Life in the Pack podcast. So I saw recently a promo that you did for an internship for students at historically black colleges and universities for the Minnesota Timberwolves and for the NBA. I love that, man. I love what the NBA is doing to promote HBCUs right now. And I am a proud alum and a proud graduate of Morehouse College. So I love the connection that the league has with HBCUs right now and all of the promotion that we're getting from Chris Paul and other guys out there that are really trying to make this thing happen and talk about the, you know, and talk about the importance of HBCUs.
No, man, I was very excited when the NBA launched its NBA HBCU fellowship initiative as well, which is why if you've seen some of the content that I've shared, I got behind it. And we, as the Timberwolves and Lynx organization, we got behind it full force and helping to promote this opportunity with HBCUs, not just specifically to come into our organization, to come into the Timberwolves or the Lynx organization, but really for the benefit of those students, to let them know that, hey, this is an opportunity that exists for you. And the interview series that we hosted was in an effort to equip and prepare them as best as we could to hear from executives throughout the NBA. I hosted this series and spoke with executives from the Brooklyn Nets, from the Charlotte Hornets, from the Cleveland Cavaliers, from other teams, so that the students could hear the perspectives of Black executives across the NBA to help better prepare them for the application process and what to expect for those that land the fellowship, but even beyond that, for those that may not land the fellowship, because it'll be 60 students that will be working across teams this summer as part of this internship, as part of this fellowship from HBCUs. But I also want to encourage other HBCU students to know that they have pathways to employment and career opportunities in the NBA, whether they are able to be selected as a part of this summer's fellowship or not. I want them to be thinking about that and understanding that and seeing people that look like them that are at executive levels throughout the league to give them both the inspiration and the aspiration to pursue opportunities in the NBA.
I just think it's great. I really do. And I think that the NBA has always been that type of league that's always expressed wanting to have a connection with students from HBCUs, because I know in my experience when I was graduating from Morehouse and I was working the 96 Olympics on my way out right after graduating, I had written to several NBA basketball teams. I sent letters asking about internships and opportunities, and a bunch of those organizations sent me a letter back just kind of talking about their protocol and what they do or do not do. But there was one specific individual that wrote me a handwritten letter back. Mm-hmm. And his name is Pete Babcock. And at the time, he was the president and general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. And I ended up getting the opportunity to meet him at the Olympics. And I've always been a big fan of his, even before writing him in the first place. And lo and behold, his brother, Rob, was in the basketball operations department of the Timberwolves at the time. And so he said, hey, when you go back home and you're starting your new job and all that stuff, whatever, make sure that you make a connection with my brother. So that just really speaks to what the NBA has always been about.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to be a beneficiary of that. And so since coming into the league myself, I've had the opportunity to connect with other executives that have given me the time And our own CEO here at the Timberwolves and Lynx, Ethan has been phenomenal. And, you know, Ethan, his level of awareness, his mindfulness, his sensitivities to some of the cultural nuances that I may be required to navigate that he may not be as familiar with, took it upon himself to introduce me to people like Fred Whitfield, the CEO of the Charlotte Hornets. And Fred has been phenomenal and kept his doors and his lines open for me. And even that has extended to some of the folks you may have seen on that interview series, gentleman Seth Bennett, who's the chief marketing officer over at the Hornets. And so even though I am in the league and I am at an executive level, having those trusted voices, having those credible voices of those that have come before me and navigated these spaces is beneficial for me even at this level. So I know how important that will be for young people just walking into the league, and my hat off to the NBA to be aware enough to know the importance of having those types of leaders in place to provide guidance and direction for the next generation.
You know, True, what is it like transitioning or starting a new role or new job in the midst of this pandemic?
Oh man, it's very challenging to be honest, right? And one of the things that first came to mind for me as we started this language of social distancing in the midst of the pandemic, because I started right in the middle of the pandemic, as you know, and in my mind, and you know, largely because of the work that I do and my experiences, I've had an understanding that we are all social beings and the importance of socialization. And so that stuck in my mind. It's like, wow, like social distancing is going to hinder the ability to truly connect with people on a human level. And so I said, okay, I understand the rationale behind it. It's more about physical distancing, but I took it upon myself to be as deliberate and intentional as possible to leverage the technology that's available to us to socialize as much as I could with the people that I knew I needed and wanted to build relationships with, whether that was phone calls, whether that was Zooms or Teams meetings, because what I think people don't understand, and particularly in the space of diversity, equity, and inclusion, I've learned this oh so well and early on, is that the building of relationships and the change and evolution that we all want to achieve is much more emotional than it is intellectual. Just receiving and gathering information is not where the connection happens, is not where the change happens. It's through our willingness and ability to spend time and connect with people on a human level. And so even as I see a lot of organizations that are entering into the diversity space and providing these trainings, just providing information that people can store in their mind, that is not enough. We have to create opportunities for us to allow people to connect what's in the head to what's in the heart. And that is putting people in the same spaces together to allow them to get to know each other on a human level.
We're talking to True Pettigrew, Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx here on the Life in the Pack podcast. Now, man, I gotta bring this up. You've done some cool things even way before working for the Timberwolves organization. You're an author. You wrote a book, Millennials Revealed. Tell me about that.
Again, man, practice and preparation until I realized what the true calling was on my life. It's all preparing you to walk into that calling. And so that book was written as a need that I saw at a time when millennials were just being vilified and demonized, man. People were like, who are these people?
Like,
what?
Like they were taking over, huh?
Right. And I was feeling bad because in my advertising and marketing career, I spent a lot of times with that audience, not being a member of the millennial generation myself, but I spent a lot of time studying and interacting and engaging with the millennial audience, because my areas of responsibility when I ran my agency was primarily helping my clients to connect with youth, young adult, and multicultural audiences. So they were the youth and young adults at the time. And so as organizations were struggling with trying to understand how to connect with millennials in the marketplace, that's where I provided a lot of value to my clients when I was in advertising and marketing. And then as the millennials aged and went to college and graduated from college and were now going into the workforce, a lot of those same organizations were struggling and quite honestly complaining about how to integrate millennials into the workplace and with casting all of these labels and stereotypes on them. And I said, all right, look, let's just stop. And I wanted to help people understand how to build those bridges across the generational divide and really provide a guide to help people understand how to connect across the different generations. And so Millennials Revealed was born out of a need and a desire to help organizations understand how to build those bridges across the generational divides.
Yeah, that's pretty dope, man. That's pretty dope. You know, and we've chatted just a few times, but the one thing about you that I like is your energy. You give off good energy, good vibes, and that can be infectious in such a positive way. What would you say is your best attribute?
Thank you. Now, aside from my good looks, that's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming that's where you're going with this, right? Just in, okay, because I think, well, you know, I think that part is a given, so I'll go beyond that, right? Now, thank you for that feedback on that from the energy standpoint, man. And I do believe that's important. I would say, at least from what I've been told, is my ability and willingness to listen. To hear, to allow people to be heard and to truly give them voice. That's some of the feedback I've received is my ability and willingness to listen.
Yeah, that's a great attribute, to be honest with you, because a lot of folks aren't able to look past themselves and focus on the needs of others and hearing other people out. So that's pretty awesome there. Now, the Timberwolves have had a reputation as a franchise that has struggled to win basketball games literally since day one. But right now feels like things are just way different. As someone on the inside, what do you see or what do you feel like this, where this team is headed currently with their trajectory?
Oh man, it feels good, man. It feels good. And the one thing that I will say to that is that you referenced the energy. I will say the energy is phenomenal right now. I believe people are operating and moving with a sense of purpose throughout the entire organization. And someone that is on the inside, and you've been around sports for a long time, you get this where maybe the average fan doesn't understand this. It has to permeate throughout the entire organization because everyone has an impact. This is multiple body parts of the same body. The players or one component. The coaches are another component. The executive leadership team is another component from the CEO, the CCO, the COO, and all of those roles. And the communications team, right? The PR team, the IT team. I mean, it's all different body parts of the same body. And I feel like the members of the body are coming together and recognizing how to operate with a sense of purpose to contribute to the greater good of the total body. If one element or component of that body is ailing or is damaged or is hurting or is weak, then it's going to affect the performance of the entire body. Like if you have a sore ankle, like that, I don't care how strong your biceps are, how strong your quads are, like the rest of the body is going to feel the pain of that sore ankle. And the body is not going to operate at its full capacity. And I think we are at a point where all the different body parts are operating with a sense of purpose, and that's giving off good energy to everyone.
See, now you're about to have me in my feelings thinking mentally about preparing for this workout today, man. When I get to the gym, when I get to Lifetime, I'm gonna be all, you know, True said, you know, you got to get you, you know, get past that ankle. You got to get past these aches and pains, you know. So,
hey, come on, man. You can't skip leg day, bro. You can't skip leg day.
You can't do it. You can't do it. I'm at Target Center right now, and this is where I like to get my leg days in, so it's all good. We're just coming off the NBA All-Star Weekend in Cleveland. And what did you think of Karl Anthony Towns, man, winning the NBA All-Star three-point contest?
Man, I'm so proud of him and so happy for him. I mean, as you know, having a relationship with the players, you kind of know that their hearts and their passions and their drivers. And I know he left here going to Cleveland on a mission and to fulfill that mission. And he was focused and he wanted to do that for a whole host of reasons. And what I love about Carl is it was not for selfish reasons. And I think, again, and it goes back to, I think, where the success is coming from the organization is that I think we're all understanding that it's a heart condition, if you will, where the desire to give exceeds the expectation to receive. Nothing that is being done out of a selfish intention. And I know that he, on the surface, wanted to make sure he established his place and his legacy. But I also know that there was some other very personal and emotional drivers behind that performance. So I am extremely happy for him and proud of him.
All right. You have a son, right?
I do. 9-year-old son. My young prince, Austin. Shout out to Austin.
All right. Shout out to Austin. Does your son ever bug you, True, and be like, Dad, I want to meet all the players? I've never asked that question of a team executive, but I'd imagine, like young kids, they want to just, their parents to just roll up on the players 24/7.
Oh, man. So because I know my wife is probably, she might hear this, I'm going to have to be, I'm going to keep it a buck. Is that the right language, Henry? Is that what the, is that how they, is that
keep
what
it a buck or keep
now?
It 100? Yeah.
Keep whenever, it 100, yeah. Right. And all right, I'm going to be completely honest, man. So he loves basketball, but he loves football. So if I'm going to be completely honest with you, when I first got the job, he's 9 years old, right? So he was 7 when I first got the job. So when I first got the job, he said, Dad, are they going to let you work with the Vikings too? Like, I don't even think he understood. Like, he just knew I was going to be working in, with the Timberwolves in Minnesota. I believe if I were working in the NFL, he might be asking me that. Now, he's met some of the players. Yeah. Right? He's had the opportunity to meet some of the players.
Wait, he loves basketball, but he loves football. It's not like your son is an Anthony Edwards clone.
Yeah. And he loves Ant. He loves Ant, right? And so he's been around the players. But and my wife, well, I said I'm going to have to keep it a buck. And you have kids, Henry?
I do not.
Oh, man. Well, I was going to say, man, somebody help us out, right? So – because like he is, and we're fortunate that we're able to provide the life we're able to provide for him. But like, he thinks this is normal, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. So he's not tripping. You know what I mean? He's able to lead a life when he's able to go to different events, have different experiences. And we're extremely grateful and proud of that. But he's not that kid. He just thinks he's supposed to be able to do stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness, man. I don't have any children yet, knock on wood. I'm still going to try to work on that. But it's weird how when you're in this space, people that maybe they are friends of yours, but maybe not like in your inner circle or small circle. I keep my circle small. They don't know every single nuance. They don't know every single thing. So like, for instance, I know you get this way worse than I get it, but I still get it. People be like, well, hey man, can you hook your boy up with some tickets? I'm like, I'm not Ticketmaster. You think I'm just going to whip out the Timberwolves app and I'm just going to break you off like a dozen tickets?
Man, bro, what you talking, man?
That is crazy, man. We're talking to True Pettigrew, Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx here on the Life in the Pack podcast. I'm your podcast host, Henry Lake. All right, so any crossover with any superstars growing up or in school? And what I mean by that is everybody seems to have that person or persons that they may have known or went to school with that became famous, that brush with fame. Anybody for you?
Not so much that I went to school with, but as I was growing up, and I think you know this, because you seem to know a lot, so you probably know this. And if you don't, I'm probably just telling on myself right now. But, when I graduated college, I didn't want to pursue a career in engineering. So I moved to L.A. to become a rap artist. And so
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I was a rapper for about 3 years of my life, man, living in L.A. Like, that's what I did.
Hold on. Actually, I did see that pop up on Google. I just thought it was a different True, to be honest with you.
And so I Yeah, that's how I ate for about 3 years of my life. So during that time when I was in LA, there were other people who were kind of the whole starving artist thing that were starting their careers at that time or in the early stages of their careers. And so I was able to build relationships with a lot of people that I would kind of see on a regular basis and kind of hang out with on a regular basis. And so that was pretty cool. I mean, and some of those, like, man, I remember hanging out with the with Cube and KD and Trady and all of those, and hanging out with Snoop and like Gary Owens, who's the comedian now, like, yeah. And DJ Quick, like names a lot of people may or may not even know, like Derek or D Nice is a yep. good friend. So I've had the good fortune, just based on the path that my journey has taken me on, to meet a lot of people who have celebrities now, quite honestly, yeah. who have notoriety.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Rest in peace to my brother that I went to school with and graduated Morehouse with, Shakir Stewart. He was in the
Shake. Oh yeah. Man, Shake was one of my
guys, man. Yeah, we graduated. Yep. And he had risen to the to be the top executive and president of Def Jam Records many, many years ago. That was a good friend of mine.
Shake and I spent some time together as well, man. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Good guy. Yep. Straight out of Oakland. He was representing Oakland, California. Yep. All right, so yeah. You are also, aside from being an author, a motivational speaker. What is the advice or message that you feel has passed along to you, the best message that's been passed along to you actually throughout the years?
Oh, man, something that I find myself telling young people in particular often is to trust your gifts. Right. We all have been given tremendous gifts, and we all have been given unique gifts. And I just want to encourage people to trust your gifts. Your gifts work. Your gifts make room. And it can be intimidating at times when you find yourself in certain spaces, because, you know, your gifts make room. They open doors, and they will allow you to be in spaces that you may not have thought you would be in. And that can be intimidating. Right. And, you know, just to kind of go back to the diversity, equity and inclusion language, you know, the psychological term that we apply to it is imposter syndrome. You don't feel like you belong, particularly if you are in the minority and the dominant majority of the people in certain spaces and rooms don't look like you. Just know that you belong there. You belong there. You are good enough. You are smart enough. You are talented enough. You are gifted enough. You belong there. Trust your gifts.
That's awesome. All right, we always close it out, or I always close it out, with a couple of rapid fire questions, Drew. And I appreciate your time here on the Life in the Pack podcast. So the first rapid fire question is, and this is where I'll mention something and kind of briefly tell me what's comes to mind. What is your favorite city and why?
My favorite city, I would have to say Baltimore, because that's the city that raised me.
The television show that became your funniest your favorite, not funniest, but favorite binge watching experience.
Favorite. Oh, man. Yeah. Bro, that's so many. And
give me one or two. Give me one or two.
OK, I'm going to go with the Wire. Right.
Oh, so come on. That's Baltimore. Come on now. Come on, Omar. Come on now. That's my favorite binge watching experience of all time.
Bro, The Wire is so real. And let me just tell you, like, that was truly art imitating life.
That's what's up, man. That's crazy. Yeah. As an author yourself, your favorite book other than your own?
Favorite book. I have a few. The Bible is my favorite book of all time. Mm-hmm. Then How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie is right up there. Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yep.
Is on that list. The Alchemist, I'm a big fan. So, and I know you said book, but those are several.
All right, so the final thing for you, and this is, you got to go outside of the Timberwolves organization, okay? That's the one caveat. Who is your favorite player in the league currently?
Currently?
Yeah.
Okay, so you threw, I was already ready to go with all time, but you said currently.
Currently.
Outside of the Timberwolves?
Yes, outside of the Timberwolves, yep.
KD, man.
Yeah, he's
KD.
He's
Kevin Durant, man. He's just he's a cheat code, bro.
He's special.
Yeah,
he's special. I mean, I just that display that we saw from Steph, woof, that was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a LeBron guy. Clearly, you know, I mean, I like them all. I'm Team LeBron all day though.
Yeah, no, just like can't take nothing away from LeBron and and Steph. Oh, love Steph, and I love Steph.
Yeah,
I mean, what we saw him do yesterday was unbelievable. But when I just think of someone who was the full package, man, it's just nothing he can't do.
Yeah. Yeah, you are correct, man. KD is the man. Hey, True, man, it's a pleasure to have you here on the Life in the Pack podcast. Life in the Pack podcast guest today, True Pettigrew, Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx. Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, thanks, Henry. My pleasure.
All right, take care.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.